The Claude 3 model family by Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. Haiku is lightning fast and cost effective, Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed, and Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Learn more at anthropic.com/Claude.
Jamie Dimon warns the U.S. could face an interest rate spike, and some investors think the Fed might not cut rates after all.
Stronger growth, stronger inflation. It's kind of tough to cut interest rates a lot in that kind of environment.
And what Pennsylvania, the nation's largest swing state, can tell us about 2024. Plus, Trump says abortion should be up to the states. It's Monday, April 8th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. JPMorgan Chase CEO Jamie Dimon warned that interest rates could soar to 8% or more in the coming years. In his annual letter to shareholders, Dimon cited record high deficit spending and geopolitical stress that could throw a wrench into the fight against inflation. He also questioned market optimism and talk of a soft landing in which the economy avoids tipping into a recession. But Dimon did acknowledge the economy's resilience, despite skepticism from forecasters, including himself. Still, he said his bank, the nation's largest, is ready no matter what. J.P. Morgan earned a record of nearly $50 billion last year. And as we await those expected interest rate cuts from the Federal Reserve later this year, some investors are growing doubtful. In fact, a handful think the Fed might not cut rates at all. So what's changed? Markets reporter Eric Wallerstein explains.
In the first few months of the year, we were paring back how many interest rate cuts we expected. Markets came into the year thinking maybe 6 or 7 was really on the table, and we've walked that all the way back to maybe 2 or 3. But in reality, the stock market's been doing great. Multiple all-time highs for the S&P 500. Bonds have really taken a beating, though. I think the big question mark now is, okay, a strong economy, that means the Fed can wait to cut rates. That's good for stocks, right? Strong growth means strong profits. Corporate earnings should do pretty well. But what if those fears are inflation-based? You know, what if the Fed has to keep interest rates higher for longer to manage any unsuspecting inflation, or just because they're not seeing the progress they'd like to? That's a more worrisome reason for the Fed to not cut. And that's kind of what investors are kind of grappling with at the moment.
We'll be reading the tea leaves along with investors when we get the latest inflation numbers later this week. The Consumer Price Index is due on Wednesday. In a campaign video today, presumptive Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump said abortion should be left to the states and avoided stating a position on the number of weeks at which the procedure should be banned. Trump's latest stance is unlikely to please religious conservatives who want him to embrace tougher restrictions, and one prominent group quickly expressed its disappointment. The issue has animated Democrats who blame Trump for the 2022 Supreme Court ruling that ended Roe v. Wade, eliminating the constitutional right to an abortion. President Biden has outlined a plan to slash student debt for nearly 30 million Americans. The proposal marks a major new White House effort to appeal to progressives and young voters 7 months before the November election, with polls showing Biden trailing his Republican opponent Donald Trump and underperforming among adults under 30. Republican state attorneys general are already making plans to challenge the program in court. Tesla is facing a big trial this week as it defends its driver assistant known as Autopilot. The company is arguing that drivers, not Tesla, are ultimately responsible for crashes that involve the technology. In a wrongful death suit set for trial, a jury will determine who's at fault in a fatal crash in 2018. The victim's family says Tesla oversold the software's capabilities. Tesla says the driver wasn't properly engaged. The outcome could mean major financial liability for Tesla, which is facing other disputes involving Autopilot. So we'd like to know, what questions do you have about what's happening at Tesla or in the broader EV market? Send us a note, or even better, record a voice memo on your phone and send it to wnpod@wsj.com. That's wnpod@wsj.com. You can also leave us a voicemail at 212-416-4328. Just be sure to include your name and location because we might use it on the show. Coming up, how shifting industry has changed politics in Pennsylvania. What it can tell us about the 2024 election after the break.
The Claude 3 model family from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point on the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Haiku is the fastest and lowest cost model on the market, perfectly designed for high volume, high speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who trust Anthropic to keep them at the frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude today.
Pennsylvania is the nation's largest swing state. It's also a microcosm of industry and party shifts we're seeing on the national level. Pittsburgh and surrounding areas were once largely Democratic, but the collapse of the steel industry in the 1980s and the loss of hundreds of thousands of jobs along with it have meant big changes, including an inversion of the two parties. Democrats, long the party of the blue-collar base, now attract more professional-class metropolitan workers. And it's now Republicans who are overwhelmingly dependent on working-class voters. Joining me now with more on this and what Pennsylvania can tell us about the upcoming presidential election is Wall Street Journal reporter and editor Aaron Zitner. Welcome back, Aaron.
Good to be with you.
So I'd like to start with the collapse of the steel industry, which was really a pivotal point in Pennsylvania's history. It led to a whole new economy. What industries primarily sprouted up to replace steel?
Yeah, this is really a fascinating economic change, and it led to an important political change. Steel, as you said, fell apart, and thousands of jobs were lost. In its place, two different kind of economies sprung up. In the city, it was eds and meds, hospitals and universities, and more recently, high tech. Uber moved in. Google moved in. The city has its first unicorn, a software startup with a $1 billion valuation. And this brought in a more professional class, educated constituency into the city. In the surrounding counties, there was a lot of pain, depopulation, not a lot to offer the blue-collar workers who had worked in steel. But then fracking came in. The extraction industries pulling natural gas from the sedimentary rock deep underground. And that gave quite a few people new income. So the economies diverged, one going high tech, the other moving into fossil fuels and the extraction industries, and the politics followed. The high tech city became more Democratic, and the surrounding counties have become very, very Republican because the voters there largely believe the Republican Party is the most supportive of fossil fuels.
So let's peel out some of these things. Fracking is one of the more controversial practices nationwide, and voters in Pennsylvania, too, are split. You spoke to Adam Kress, who works for Deep Well Services, an energy company in Pennsylvania, and he considers himself independent, but he's not in favor of politicians who want to ban fracking.
I don't think they understand how much money it puts into the economy, how much this tri-state area has grown because of fracking. The jobs, the hotels, the truck drivers, just the goods being purchased. Because you're giving high-paying jobs to, quite frankly, not that educated people. They're going to spend their money into the economy. If you ban fracking, you're going to ban the amount of taxes you collect. You're going to ban the amount of revenue the state generates. Like, you're taking away money from the state.
Aaron, how big of a political issue is fracking this election in Pennsylvania?
One reason that fracking is a political issue is not just because of what Republicans are doing, but because of what Democrats are doing. Democrats are trying to be the clean energy party, the party that is dealing with climate change. And Joe Biden, in one of his first acts in office, he killed off the Keystone XL pipeline. He more recently has suspended new permits for liquefied natural gas exports. These are things that are important in Western Pennsylvania because they're actions that could diminish the appetite for natural gas. Meanwhile, the progressive base in the city is electing a new kind of Democrat, a Democrat you didn't see even a few years before. Democrats had largely been supportive of fracking in the city because they knew that there are jobs dependent on fracking right outside the city, and in some cases, even very close to the city. Now you're seeing Democrats elected who want to ban fracking, saying that it's environmentally damaging and that we need to move to renewables. That's a change, and it's a much more liberal position than we've seen in the past.
Let's talk a little bit more about that change. You looked at how this shift in industry has changed politics in the area, and one of the people you spoke with, John Sabo, also works in the natural gas fracking industry. He said he came from a family of blue dogs. Those are conservative Democrats, but he's noticed a change over the years.
A lot of them are moving over to that conservative side because things have really shifted, in particular in a hard-working blue-collar area around here. And I think that's what resonates with a lot of folks, is that hard work and blue collar work ethic.
John Szabo is reflecting something that is true nationwide, and that is the Republican Party over the last couple of decades has drawn more and more from working class voters. Voters who used to be Democrats, voters who started to shift in the years of Ronald Reagan, and that shift is amplified recently. Some of the shift is economic, a sense that Democrats have kind of economically left behind working class Americans, and some of it is cultural. And when you go to Western Pennsylvania, you hear much of this. Democrats want to ban guns, and we're part of gun culture. Democrats are too concerned with diversity, and what about us here in the less diverse parts of the country? But in Western Pennsylvania, all those social and economic issues have another overlay, and that is around the energy economy and the sense that one party, the Democratic Party, is hostile to energy extraction, and the other party, the Republican Party, is committed to enhancing fossil fuels and protecting the extraction industries. And Donald Trump, in particular, has gone out of his way to say that he understands the extraction economy, and he's been to this part of the state and spoken to workers in the industry directly.
Now, we've been talking a lot about fracking and how big of an industry that is in Pennsylvania. Let's talk about some of the other industries that have cropped up. You spoke to Josh Thieler, who, like Szabo, grew up near Pittsburgh. And he was raised in a conservative household, but now identifies as a progressive Democrat. And he said his views changed when he got job security.
I think probably the biggest impact that it had on my beliefs was that it helped make it so that I wasn't absolutely panicked financially every day. When I was growing up, it was like literally anything could happen. You know, if I missed one paycheck, like I wasn't eating for a week, you know, so I was very focused on my own needs and own concerns and didn't have time or energy to consider anyone else's needs. And so that was very selfish of me. But whenever I started working at that company, it gave me the freedom financially to step back and look and be like, hey, I'm starting to feel okay now. Why can't it be like this for everybody?
Pennsylvania is the country's largest swing state. What are the dynamics playing out here, as we've been discussing? Show us about what's going on nationally.
Well, we've seen in the last few election cycles a couple of real shifts. Democrats are doing much better than before, not just in cities, but in the ring of suburbs outside of cities. Meanwhile, Republicans are doing better and better in rural and small town America. That kind of voter arbitrage, where each party is losing voters and where it is gaining them, this tension between working class and professional class, is kind of the seesaw, the back and forth that we're going to see in this election. And whichever trend is more powerful could determine who wins Pennsylvania and a number of other swing states. This is playing out nationally.
That's Wall Street Journal reporter and editor Aaron Zitner. Before we go, heads up, we've made a correction to today's episode. In 2021, President Biden revoked a permit for the Keystone XL pipeline. An earlier version of the show incorrectly said it was the Keystone pipeline. And that's what's news for this Monday afternoon. Today's show was produced by Anthony Bansi with supervising producer Michael Kosmides. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. We'll be back with a new show tomorrow morning. Thanks for listening.
The Claude 3 model family by Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. Haiku is lightning fast and cost-effective. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Learn more at anthropic.com/Claude.